Brother Alton Bailey just wished me good luck. And I told him that about the first half dozen people that I met when I walked in licked their chops and rubbed their hands and said, "Man, I'm anxious to get at you." So I guess we'll get to it. My topic is the day of Christ's resurrection, and in particular, how it can correlate with Jesus' statement in Matthew 12 and verse 40 about being 3 days and three nights in the tomb. In Matthew 12 and 40, Jesus said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." These words have obviously been very puzzling to a lot of folks because it seems inconsistent with the accounts given elsewhere concerning the time between his death and his resurrection, the time between our Lord's death and resurrection. Now, according to commonly accepted tradition, Jesus was crucified on Friday, dying between 3 p.m. and sundown, and was raised from the dead very early in the morning on the following Sunday, or the first day of the week. Now, many readers of the Bible are puzzled to know how this interval between late Friday afternoon and early Sunday morning can be figured out to be 3 days and three nights. It seems rather to be two nights, one day, and a very small portion of another day. Some scholars have thought what is, I think, ostensibly to be a contradiction to be real. And for that reason, they have proposed, some of them, that Matthew's account is an interpolation rather than an interpretation. Others have speculated as to the actual time that Jesus spent in the tomb. Sabbatarians, one of the most vocal being Herbert W. Armstrong and his Worldwide Church of God, argues for a Wednesday crucifixion and a Sabbath resurrection. And apparently the purpose for that is to remove the significance of the first day and thereby bolster Sabbatarianism. It's reasoned by them, first of all, that the Passover of the year that Jesus died fell on a Thursday. Secondly, the preparation day on which Jesus was actually crucified was the preparation for this Passover, which was a Wednesday. The following day then is identified as a high day Sabbath, John 19 and verse 31, referred to the Passover. Thirdly, they contend, Jesus rose exactly 3 days and three nights at the precise moment, three 24-hour days after his death and burial. Therefore, fourthly, they conclude, Jesus rose on a Saturday after his Wednesday death. And that's just one of many ideas that have been proposed concerning the time of Jesus' death and his resurrection, and I think also an effort to harmonize what he says in Matthew 12 and verse 40 with the narratives in the gospel. So in my brief study this afternoon, I'm going to attempt to show exactly when Jesus was crucified and resurrected, and then we'll try to harmonize it with the words in Matthew 12 and verse 40. The Passover, which always fell on the 14th of the first month, the month referred to as Nisan by Jews in later years, the Passover preceding Jesus' death apparently was on a Thursday. Now, Philip Schaff, in his History of the Christian Church, refers to astronomical calculation that shows that in A.D. 30, the probable year of the crucifixion, the 15th day of Nisan, the day after Passover, actually fell on a Friday. So according to these astronomers' calculations, if the day after Passover fell on a Friday, then Passover day would be Thursday. Eldersheim, in his works, The Life of Jesus, the Messiah, places the Passover, the betrayal, and Jesus' trial on Thursday night. Now, the preparation day on which Jesus died is clearly identified in Mark 15 and verse 42 as the day before the Sabbath. In the marginal reading in Luke 23 and verse 54, we're told, "Yea, that which saw the Sabbath began to dawn." Now, again, many think that this Sabbath to be the Passover, because John described it as a high day, John 19 and verse 31, and in John 18 and verse 39 even referred to it as the Passover. To understand this high day Sabbath, I think we have to remember the succession of Jewish feasts. The Passover fell on the 14th day of Nisan, according to Exodus 12 verses 13 and 14, as we mentioned, commemorating the last meal in Egypt and the messenger of death passing over Israel's marked houses, sparing their firstborn. Now, as we pointed out, according to at least two sources, this fell on a Thursday, and Jesus and his disciples observed it then. Now, I think about the only way that we can actually arrive at a definite conclusion is just to read a few of these passages of Scripture that show the chronological sequence of events. And I found a number of sources for this. The System Bible Study, I think, has an excellent parallel of this sequence of events by the four writers of the Gospel. I'm indebted, though, to this copy that I have in my hand to Brother Melvin Crouch. In Matthew 26 and verse 17, we're told, "And the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" Mark 14 and verse 12, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover." Luke 22 and verse 1, "Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover." Luke 22 and verse 7, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed." So they came to the Lord on this occasion with the idea of eating with him the Passover. Now, what day was that? Numbers 9, verses 2 and 3, "Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, at even, ye shall keep it in his appointed season." Deuteronomy 16 and verse 6, "At the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there shalt thou sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun." So they came to eat the Passover. The Passover was commanded to be eaten. It began at evening, at 6 o'clock in the evening, on the 14th day of Nisan. Now, it's my understanding that preparations were made on the 14th day of Nisan, the Jewish day for observing the Passover, or for observing any feast, for that matter, began at 6 p.m. in the evening. So the Paschal Lamb was slain on the 14th of Nisan. Then after 6 p.m. in the evening, in the night, on what would be the 15th day of the month, then it was eaten or partaken of. We're told later on in Matthew 26 and verse 20, "And when even was come, he sat down with the 12." In Matthew 26, verses 30 and 31, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night." So the Passover and the Lord's Supper were observed in the evening, beginning at 6 p.m. The same day at night, we're told Jesus was betrayed and Peter denied him. In Mark 14 and verse 30, "This day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." In John 18 and verse 3, "Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons." So on the same day that began at 6 p.m. that evening, later that night, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He was denied by Peter. He was betrayed. And Judas betrayed him on that occasion in the nighttime of that same day. Now in Matthew 27 and verse 1, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death." Now this was the same day that began at 6 p.m. that evening, but it was now early in the morning, and you can see that the plot to kill Jesus was in progress. In Luke 22, verse 66, "And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council." John 18 and verse 28, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." So still, this was early in the morning, the same day that began at 6 p.m., what we would consider the evening before. Matthew 27 and verse 15, Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. So this was still the same day, the feast day. Mark 15 and verse 25, "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him." Mark 15 and 33, And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So you can see that this was still the same day. John refers to the third hour of the day, which would correspond with what we think of as about 9 o'clock in the morning. Then later also refers to there being darkness over all the earth from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, a period of time that we would think of as noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So this period of time was a period of darkness over all the earth, a period of time that Jesus hung upon the cross. Now, in Mark 15 and verse 42, and when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath. Now, right here is the critical passage of Scripture, and I want to look at this in just a little bit more detail. This expression, even, of course, refers to evening. And I looked it up in Thayer's, and the word is translated from the Greek word opsia. And Thayer says, either from 3 to 6 o'clock p.m. or our 6 o'clock p.m. to the beginning of night. So the Jews reckoned two evenings. The first evening began at 3 o'clock p.m. and lasted until 6 o'clock. The second evening began at 6 o'clock p.m. and lasted until night. And that's where the expression between the two evenings came from in talking about slaying the paschal lamb. It was to be slain between the two evenings. And that would be between the evening that began at 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. and 1 6 p.m. till night. Now, the analytical Greek lexicon also says in reference to opsia, two of which were reckoned by the Hebrews, one from the ninth hour until sunset, the other from sunset until dark. Vinson, in his word study, says, in reference to Mark 15 and verse 42, and the phrase, when even was come, the Hebrews reckoned two evenings, an earlier and a later. The former began midway between noon and sunset, or at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The latter began at sunset, 6 o'clock. The reference here is to the earlier evening, though the time may have been well on toward the beginning of the later. The preparations had to be hurried because the Sabbath would begin at sunset. Mark, in his parallel passage in Mark 15 and verse, or rather, in Mark 16, verses 1 and 2, well, just a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me read it to you from the New International Version. It says, it was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, so as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, and so on. So I think that points out that the day that has been referred to here as having begun at 6 p.m. the evening before, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, when he was betrayed by Judas in the garden, when he was denied by Peter, the next morning when he was arrested, when he was given a trial, all this took place on what is referred to as the day of preparation. And according to Mark, the 15th chapter in verse 42, as we pointed out, it was sometime after 3 p.m. because it was during what they call the first evening. The final evening that would initiate the Sabbath day was drawing near. It was rapidly approaching. So all of this took day on the day of preparation. And John says, or Mark says rather, in Mark 15 and verse 42, that the day of preparation was the day before the Sabbath. Now, a little bit further on, in John 19, verses 13 and 14, John also identifies the day that all these events took place as being the preparation day. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold your king. Now the New International Version states, when Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. So the same day that all these series of events began, 6 p.m. the evening before, Jesus was delivered by Pilate. The time of his crucifixion, the time of his death, we're told, was preparation day, the day before the Sabbath. Now in John 19 and verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So Jesus was on the cross on the preparation day, the day before the Sabbath. The legs of the thieves were broken to hasten their death on preparation day, so that their bodies would not remain upon the Sabbath the next day. Then in Matthew 27 and verse 57, and when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph. Now the New International Version states, as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea. Luke 23, verses 52 through 54, this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that is hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. So Jesus was taken and buried on the same day, the preparation, the day before the Sabbath. Now in John 19, verses 41 and 42, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein never man was yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Let me again read you from the New International Version. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Now that seems to correspond with what Vincent said in his word studies, that this was during the first evening, but it was very close to the second evening, which would have initiated the next day, the day after preparation, which was the Sabbath. And because this tomb was nearby, that's where Jesus was laid. Now in Matthew 27, verses 62 and 63, now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. So he says, the next day, the day after the day of preparation, and we already pointed out according to Mark 15 and verse 52 that the preparation day was the day before the Sabbath, so the next day, the day after, would be the Sabbath. So it was on the Sabbath day that these people went in, these chief priests and Pharisees, to Pilate, wanting to make sure that the tomb was guarded and made sure. Now, in Matthew 28 and verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now again, this is a key passage of Scripture, so let's look at this in a little bit more detail. This phrase, toward the first day of the week, literally means unto one day of Sabbath, and can also be rendered one day after the Sabbath. The word end here means the same as after the Sabbath. In other words, after the Sabbath was fully completed or finished, and it can be expressed in this manner. In the night following the Sabbath, for the Sabbath closed at sunset as it began to dawn. Now the New International Version again states it, after the Sabbath at dawn. The Revised Standard Version renders it, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn. Mark 16, verses 1 and 2, in a parallel passage states, the Sabbath was past, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week. So you can see that after this Sabbath that Jesus was entombed, the next day, after this was past, was the first day of the week. Now, in reference to the first day of the week, we're told in Luke 24 and verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Mark 16 and verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Luke 24, verses 6 and 7, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So Jesus was raised on the third day, the day after the Sabbath had ended, what is described as the first day of the week. Well, I think you can see that in this whole scenario, this whole narrative, there are really only 3 days that are mentioned. There's the preparation day that began at 6 o'clock in the evening, which included the institution of the Lord's Supper, his betrayal in the garden, his denial by Peter, the next day, early, his trial, and then somewhere around the third hour, the sixth hour, his crucifixion, darkness over all the earth, from noon until 3 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon, and then somewhere between 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 6 o'clock in the afternoon, he was taken down, and because the Sabbath was near, he was laid in a nearby tomb by Joseph of Arimathea. Then the next day was the Sabbath day. That's the day that the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate and implored him to make sure of the tomb. That's the day that the women rested. Then at the end of the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, which Jesus said, or which Luke rather says in Luke 24, was the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead. And I think when you begin to look at this series or this sequence of events, then the statement of Jesus in Matthew 12 and verse 40 becomes apparent. How can you get 3 days and three nights out of just a fraction of the preparation day, all of the Sabbath day, and a little over half of the first day of the week? How can you possibly reconcile that? Well, I think the key to understanding this is that just as we have looked at the way the Jews kept time within the context of their tradition and their custom, we also need to look at their language, their phraseology, if you will, within the context of their tradition and their custom. And if you can look at it like that, then I think you can understand that Jesus' statement in Matthew 12 and verse 40 is what you might call a Jewish idiom, a figure of speech that is referred to as synecdoche. Synecdoche is a figure of speech in which the whole is used for the part. And that's something that was very commonly exercised by the Jews. Let me read you just a couple of comments. First of all, by Barnes, his notes on this passage. He says, It will be seen in the account of the resurrection of Christ that he was in the grave but two nights and a part of 3 days. See Matthew 28 and verse 6. This computation is, however, strictly in accordance with the Jewish mode of reckoning. If it had not been, the Jews would have understood it and would have charged our Savior as being a false prophet. For it is well known to them that he had spoken this prophecy, Matthew 27, verse 63. Such a charge, however, was never made. It is plain, therefore, that what was meant by the prediction was accomplished. It was a maxim also among the Jews in computing time that a certain part of the day was to be received as the whole. Many instances of this kind occurred in both sacred and profane history. Now, Clark says, If you number the hours that Christ was in the tomb, you'll find about 36. Yet in that space of time, it is called by him 3 days and three nights, whereas two nights only come between and one complete day. Nevertheless, while he speaks these words, he is not without consent of the Jewish schools and their computation. The tradition is a day and a night make an ona, and a part of an ona is as the whole. And there are many examples that we could cite of this found both in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. Just to give you a few, in Genesis, the 42nd chapter, verse 17, Joseph placed his brothers in ward, in other words, in custody, 3 days. If I said to you I was going to place you in custody 3 days, no doubt, according to our vernacular today, we would understand that to be 72 hours. And then on the fourth day, after you had been in custody 3 days, you would be released. But in verse 18, we're told that Joseph released them on the third day. In 2 Chronicles 10 and verse 5, Rehoboam told his people to return to his presence after 3 days. If I told you to return to my presence after 3 days, according to our vernacular, we would think, well, on the fourth day, you would return after 3 days. But in the very in verse 12, rather, we're told, and they returned on the third day as the king bade. So they understood exactly what he was talking about. Now in Esther, the fourth chapter and verse 16, Esther sent word to Mordecai that she would approach the king, listen, after 3 days and nights. But in Esther 5 and verse 1, she undertook this activity on the third day. Now that identically corresponds with the incident involving our Lord. He said, just as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, so will I be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But every other narrative said that he rose on the third day. Jesus used this idiom himself in predicting his resurrection. In Mark 8 and verse 31, he said that he would be raised from the dead after 3 days, knowing that he was to rise on the third day itself. Mark 9 and verse 31, Mark 10 and 34, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4. Now another example, the enemies of Jesus deemed his resurrection a threat only until the third day. Matthew 27 verses 63 and 64. You'll recall this is when the chief priests and the Pharisees came in to Pilate and wanted him to make sure the tomb until the third day. Well, now, if this was to be 3 days and three nights, why didn't they make sure the tomb until the fourth day? If it was a full 72 hours, you'd want to make it sure until the fourth day. Well, evidently, they understood that the time included the expression, in the expression here, they understood this time as terminating on the third day. And as Jesus had been buried near the close of a day, and they had expected him to rise, if at all, on the third day, they must have counted the small fraction of a day that remained after his burial as one of the 3 days. Their expression, till the third day, also shows that they expected him to rise before the third day would end, and that they therefore count a part of that day as a day. Brother J.W. McGarvey, in his book, Jesus and Jonah, made a really interesting note, as far as I'm concerned. He said that it was the custom of Jewish writers, because this was their style of writing, counting a part for a whole for a part. It was customary among them that when they wanted to be exact in the use of cardinal numbers for years and months and days and hours, that they would qualify it by putting the term full or whole before the substantive. For example, in Leviticus 25 and verse 29, a law provided that if a house in a walled city were sold, the owner might redeem it within a whole year after it is sold. And then, for a full year shall he have the right of redemption. It was after 2 full years that Absalom took revenge on Amnon. And when he returned from banishment on account of slaying Amnon, he dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem before he saw the king's face. In Jeremiah 27 and verse 3, Zedekiah, the false prophet, said that the vessels of the house of the Lord, which had been carried to Babylon, would be brought back within 2 full years. Stephen said that Moses was full 40 years old when he slew the Egyptian and fled. Luke says that Barnabas and Saul remained with the church in Antioch a whole year, and that Paul dwelt in his own hired house in Rome 2 whole years. So according to that, if Jesus had meant that he would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, as we understand it in our vernacular today, he would have qualified it by saying 3 full days and nights, or 3 whole days and nights. So my conclusion is that Jesus died on the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. Toward the end of that day, because of the need to getting down off of the cross before the Sabbath, because the Bible says the Sabbath was about to begin, he was placed in a tomb sometime before 6 o'clock in the evening, which would initiate the Sabbath day. Mark says that the preparation day was the day before the Sabbath, so it was on the next day that the chief priests and the Pharisees went into Pilate and pleaded with him to make sure the tomb, also the day that the women rested. Then at the end of the Sabbath, or after the Sabbath was over, at 6 o'clock the next evening, later on, early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the Bible says that Jesus was raised from the dead. And Luke says this is the third day since these things were done.